I just can't stop watching this video, this guy getting bussed in Reading, England.
I've watched it 30 times in a row.
I can't believe he gets up and walks right into the pub. It's crazy.
I'm kind of thinking he's shattered when he gets hit, because people that are shattered like that,
they don't die. No.
they don't die.
They never do.
You hear stories about, like, you're drunk, you fall
science.
Out of a... You fall
that
out of a...
ESPN science for you.
Seriously.
People that are drunk. If you're creamed like that, you don't die. You can get hit by a bus.
Fall out of a third-story window.
That guy's stone sober with a Starbucks in his hand. He's dead.
Yeah.
His Baseball Insider is brought to you by Oakland Ford Lincoln, your premier source for auto service and sales in the GTA. Steve, did you know if you drink, you can never die? Were you aware of that?
I've heard of that. I have not experienced it multiple lives myself, but I've heard other people have. And, you know, I think some part of it is you almost get so relaxed that you bounce around and you don't tighten up where things break as much. So I don't really want to figure it out, but I have heard that that is true.
Yeah, I wouldn't want to be a test dummy on that theory.
Just like getting hit in hockey. People used to say if you're close to the boards, just kind of relax your body and you can absorb the hit. If you tense up, you're blowing out your shoulder, you're blowing out your neck, you're blowing out your knee.
Well,
this guy who got run over by a bus, he's very relaxed. That's all I'm going to say.
And that was like the Scott Stevens of buses, too,
yeah,
man.
Exactly.
Like that bus was coming across the middle.
That's Lawrence Taylor hitting him from behind.
Yes, exactly. Anyway, Steve, we were talking about Jason Grilley, and there's a bunch of stories kicking around town right now. Obviously, the fact that Baltimore's here, and this is a big series, and then they've got Boston, they're at the Yankees, and then four against Houston next week. But Jason Grilley designated for assignment.
Steve, have you ever kind of missed on a guy where it's like an aging veteran and you give him that one more year and you kind of watch it the next year and you're like, God, I wish I didn't do that?
Yeah, that's why I'm a baseball analyst at Insider right now. So the answer to that's absolutely yes. But most teams have. And you know, the bullpen's the area where general managers make their most mistakes because it's so hard to quantify the impact of innings, appearances, how many times the guy warmed up, sat down. How many times he's done it in his career, and at some point, you know, you get diminishing returns. And, you know, Grilley was a guy that when they picked him up last year was struggling in Atlanta, and he kind of turned his fate of the season around. It was a big part of their bullpen, and completely understand why they exercised the option and brought him back. But I'm also not surprised because this stuff happens with bullpens all over the place. And those teams that have a great bullpen one year, they bring back the same cast of characters the next year, and the bullpen struggles. And everybody's like, well, how come you didn't know? It's because it is the toughest thing to quantify is the impact and the lingering effect of all of that on a pitching staff and certainly on a reliever. And Grilley's got a lot of wear and tear there. And look, don't be surprised if he gets designated for assignment. They probably aren't going to trade him. He'll get released. He'll go somewhere. He's going to be a functional member of somebody's bullpen. Because that's just kind of what happens sometimes. That's what happened last year when he came to Toronto. The Braves kind of looked at it and said, well, wait a minute, why don't you do that for us? By the same token, that may be exactly what ends up happening this year. Grilley's one of those guys that he's got nine lives. And he doesn't have to drink to do it, but he's got nine lives. He's been around for a long time, and he's been through this before.
It must be more difficult seeing him exit, you know, the ballpark when he's kind of that character guy. He seemed very well liked. The fans loved him. I mean, everybody in baseball or in sports has got a different personality. When you got a kind of a veteran guy like that everybody loves, it must be that much more difficult, no?
Yeah, absolutely. You know, as an executive, I always try not to get too close to the players because you have to make the decision that's right from a personnel perspective, mm-hmm. not from a personal perspective. And, you know, those guys that you like, when it's the end of their career or the end of the road with you, it's hard. It really is a hard conversation. But Grilley's been around for a long time. He's had a really nice career. He's got a great family. He's, you know, I talked in the spring training, and when I was there early in the year, he's got a great perspective about everything. And he's going to ride it as long as he possibly can in a career. And when it's over, he is such a personable guy that I think there's probably a place for him to the media somewhere. In some outlet, like he pitched in a lot of different places, and therefore he's got a lot of connections with different teams. He's going to do just fine. We don't have to feel sorry for him, but it is always a tough conversation when you really like the player.
Steve, do you think he's done? I mean, with the Blue Jays organization at the major league level, or are they trying to get a little bit of life out of him by sending him down, or is it kind of the end of the road? They've had enough.
Yeah, my guess is to how this plays itself out. He's designated for assignment, so they have 7 to 10 days to trade, release him, or outright him. He's not going to accept an outright to go to AAA. So he'll get his release. He'll shop himself around. Doesn't mean that he wouldn't go back to AAA for some period of time, but he'll only do that once he exhausts every major league opportunity. And I'm not going to be surprised. Everybody's looking for bullpen help. We saw, Francisco Rodriguez was released from the Detroit Tigers, and now the Washington Nationals have signed him and brought him in to take a look at him. They're desperate in their bullpen, and there's always going to be somebody out there that thinks they can pick somebody, they're smarter than somebody, or, you know, let's catch lightning in a bottle, bring a guy in, and what's the difference? If it doesn't work, well, we just release him. Because right now, any team that signs him would pay the minimum salary, and the Jays are on the hook for the rest of that salary that's guaranteed for the year. So he's a pretty nice option for teams out there because there is such a little risk on the other end.
With Steve Phillips, the Jays back in action tonight, Baltimore in town, and Joe Biagini's on the mound. I'm curious to find out how Biagini's role with this team works out going forward, because Sanchez is making, I believe, a rehab start, if not today, certainly this week. Hopefully he returns between now and the next couple of weeks. If and when that happens, I think the guy that will be circled will be Biagini in terms of how they decide to utilize him. Clearly they like him. I think they should like him. But do you see him as a long-term option in the rotation, or do you think he's the guy they might look at as back in the bullpen, maybe taking over where Grilly was hopefully going to leave off?
Yeah, my guess is that he's, understanding how they think with Mark Shapiro, Ross Atkins, and John Gibbons. Also, when you put together a team, having that sort of versatility, that guy that can go back and forth, the only two options they really have are Liriano and Biagini going into the bullpen. And they can leave Biagini in the rotation. And the question is, do they need Liriano as a third left-hander out there as an option, or are they better served with Liriano in the rotation? Now, I personally would put Biagini back in the bullpen, but there's speculation that the Jays are kicking tires, looking around for some of the pitching out there. And who knows, Biagini may be a tip in a deal like that. That if you're going to land a starting pitcher of some veteran level, and there's some speculation around Sonny Gray, that the Jays are one of a number of teams looking out there. And the Jays, they don't have the deepest farm system, that a guy like Biagini, who's, cost contained right now because he's not arbitration eligible, he's not anywhere near free agency, they can control him for a number of years, and he could be a starter and or, important reliever, he may be a chip that could be out there. So I think it's one that they've got a lot of options as to which direction they go. It could end up that Liriano and Biagini end up in the rotation if they go shopping and make a deal to bring in another starting pitcher. But right now, if I'm them, I'm the Jays, I'm really looking at, let's see what we look like when we're healthy, and I wouldn't mind adding offense in left field and trying to, add some supplement to this lineup when it's all said and done.
How would you feel about Sonny Gray as an option here?
Here's the thing. I like Sonny Gray. I don't love him. And there are a lot of teams and people who love him. And so I would always be on the short end of any deal. Somebody's always going to be willing to pay more than I would for Sonny Gray. I just don't think he's the same guy that we saw a couple of years ago. He's got a really good curveball, but it's a take pitch a lot of times out of his hand, where if you recognize it, you just don't swing at it until you get two strikes, because it's a pitch that a lot of times he starts in the zone and breaks it out of the zone and turns into a ball. And his fastball is, 93 to 95, but it's not overpowering. And he's a slight guy, and he's had arm injuries and health history in the past. So that's not the kind of guy I'm willing to take a chance on. And, if we're hearing teams like the Astros and the Red Sox and those teams and the Cubs are all watching his last start. Susan Slusser from the San Francisco Chronicle, I think, reported that. I'm looking at that thinking, well, the Jays aren't going to be able, if all those teams want them, the Blue Jays can't match up with a farm system, those teams will always be able to make a better deal. So I don't love them. I'm not going to feel badly for the Jays if they don't get them, because I think somebody's going to overpay. And he could get hot, but I've seen him and have some questions about how he could sustain success for the long term right now, Sonny Gray. I'm not convinced he's healthy.
With Steve Phillips, our Jays analyst, I feel like we've had this conversation dozens of times, but they've got 13 games upcoming. Baltimore and Boston at home, 3 at Yankee Stadium, then at home for 4 against Houston, and Houston has been the outright best team in the American League this year. How important are the next 13 games from Shapiro and Atkins' perspective in terms of what they're going to do between now and the trade deadline?
Huge part of the schedule, no question. And, you know, it's not going to be easy. You got teams in the division who are in front of you. You've got the Astros, who are, you know, arguably the best team in the American League right now and maybe the best team in baseball. And I don't love their starting pitching depth, although they're going to get McCullers back, and they got him back, and they're going to get Keuchel back at some point. And you know, they may need to add a number three starter to be that sort of dynamic playoff team, and they can score a ton of runs. I think that it's not always who you play, it's when you play them. And the same can be said for those other teams, where the Jays need to be that team that's the tough matchup right now, because their timing is going to be important. This is the time to play their best baseball, not their worst, because it is an important part of the schedule, and it is a defining point going into the All-Star break about truly what are they going to be. Are they buyers? How aggressively can they buy? Are they buying just hoping to be the second wild card team in the mix? Because that's, you know, that's a whole other dynamic. You're going to buy to be the second wild card team, to beat out four other teams. You get a chance to play one game to be able to advance. It's not like you're buying and you're the first wild card team and you know you're in, or you're going to win the division, you know you're in, and you want to supplement to get ready for the playoffs. They're fighting to get in, and it makes you wonder how heavy a price they'll pay. But the same thing is this. It not only does it matter right now what the Blue Jays do, it matters what everybody else who's competing with them does as well. Somebody needs to separate, and for the Blue Jays and their fans, it would be nice if it were them before the All-Star break.
Thank you, Steve. We'll do it again soon.